Caleb, one of your favorite Bible characters, name them.
Jesus.
Name them. Could be him or her. Jesus, okay. Caleb?
Caleb.
Caleb.
Wait, I should have said that.
You got. Abby? Sure. That's your favorite.
It's not my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, Sebastian.
This isn't
your
favorite, but I
just
know Abel.
Abel. Nice. Okay, good. Good call. Jackson?
James.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, today we're not reading about any of them because we're reading about
Jonah.
Good.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah wasn't on a hill. Danny, I forgot. Jonah actually wasn't on a hill. He was on a mountain. So, sorry, man. I just can't. Yeah. You're what? Yeah, your brother's name is Jonah. Yeah, you're right. All right. Last week, we talked about Jonah and the sailors. Let me give a recap of Jonah real quick. A quick recap, because I don't want to give a long one every week. Jonah, God tells Jonah to go to a city that he does not like and tell them that God is going to destroy the city. And Jonah's like, I'm not going to obey you, God. You told me to go east. I'm actually going to go west. I'm going to go west. So Jonah goes west. He gets on a boat and he goes west. And there are sailors on the boat and there's a big storm. And all the sailors are crying out to their gods. And they're like, please help us. Please save us. But Jonah's fast asleep in the bottom of the boat. And the sailors are like, Jonah, what's going on? Like, what God do you serve? Why aren't you crying out to him? And Jonah's like, I serve Yahweh, the God of creation, the God who created the seas and the mountains and all of earth. And they're like, well, cry out to your God. And then basically he doesn't cry out, but the other sailors cry out. They dump Jonah overboard after they try not to dump him, but then they dump him overboard. He goes to the depths of the ocean. He's like drowning. Maybe he has drowned. A big fish comes and swallows him up. 3 days later, the fish spits him out on dry land. And Jonah's like, okay, God tells Jonah again, go to the city. Jonah's like, okay, I'll go to the city. Jonah goes to the city. He walks through the city, tells him that God is going to destroy the city. The people in the city repent. Not just the people, but even the animals repent. Okay? They're like, if we repent, maybe God will have mercy on us. What does God do? Yeah, God has mercy on the city, on this terrible city, Nineveh. And then Jonah goes up on a mountain, and he's like shaking his head. He's waiting, and he's like, I wish God didn't save the city. I wish God would destroy the city. And then God ends the book with a question. Well, God does some really cool things where he makes this like leaf give him shade. Then he makes a worm eat the leaf, and then the leaf dies, and then a hot air comes, and Jonah's like just like burning out in the sun on top of this mountain. And then Jonah's angry at the leaf, and we're going to get into that. And then God, the last thing that happens to Jonah is God asks Jonah a question. He says, well, I don't want to spoil it for you because we're going to do that in a couple weeks, okay? But you can go read it. Jonah's a very short book. Today, last week we looked at the comparison between Jonah and the sailors. And this week, we're going to look at the comparison between Jonah and the big fish.
Oh.
Or maybe not. Some people think it's a whale, but it says big fish. It could be a whale. I don't know. I'm just going to call it a big fish, okay? Let me read. I'm going to read a few verses from Jonah. Jonah 1:17 through 2:10. Okay, and this is what happens after Jonah gets dumped overboard. Okay, listen to this. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then after this in chapter 2, it goes into a prayer that Jonah prays while he's in the fish. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. Okay, Jonah's in the belly of the fish and he's praying this. I called to the Lord in my distress and he answered me. I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice. When you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. Some people might read that, yet will I look once more to your holy temple? In verse 5, the water engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth's gates shut behind me forever. Then you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. As my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. All right, let me pray one more time, and then we'll get into it. Jonah and the big fish. God, thank you for these stories and these words that we get to read in your word. God, would they not just stay on the pages, but would they come alive and would they transform us? Would you transform us by your word, by the stories we read? Would you transform us and make us new, that we might truly believe that you embrace us, that you show us grace even when we mess up, even when we really mess up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Jonah has dug himself into a big hole, okay? What has Jonah done? What has Jonah done? Okay, what do you know Jonah's done?
At what point?
Beginning of the book.
He has gone on the boat.
Yeah, but why did he get on the boat?
Because he was going to go away from Nineveh.
Because God told him to go to Nineveh, and then he's like, I'm going to go the other way. So Jonah's disobeying God. He's going away from where God told him to go. He gets on a boat. There's a big ocean, and the only way that the storm can be calmed is if Jonah's thrown overboard. And so Jonah gets thrown overboard, and he's in this terrible situation that he kind of got himself into, right? It was kind of his own doing. He got on a boat going away from God when God told him to go another way. So Jonah is thrown overboard, and he's in the depths of the ocean, okay? But God hears Jonah from the depths of the ocean, okay? Not only was Jonah physically far from God, but also his heart was far off from God. I think, like, when we see Jonah going to the depths in this prayer, Jonah's not just talking about where he was physically, but I think Jonah's really talking about where his heart was. His heart was really far off from God, a place that he actually dug himself into. And where's Jonah? When Jonah's praying this, Jonah's in the belly of a fish. And actually, where Jonah has been, in verse 2 of chapter 2, Jonah says, I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol. Does anyone know what Sheol is? Sheol? Sheol was in the Hebrew Bible, Sheol is the place after death, okay? Or the place after life, the place where you go when you die. So it's not necessarily hell, but Sheol is the place where people were believed to go after they die. And it was not a good place. It wasn't a place where, like, oh, I'm looking forward to going to Sheol. It's just like Sheol is what's after death. And it's kind of mysterious. It's kind of dark. And thanks, sorry, bro. That was my bad. Bad catch. That's on me. But Sheol was not a good place. And that's where Jonah says he's crying out from. He says, I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol. From the place after death. The place furthest from life. That's where Jonah cries out. And God actually answers him. He says, I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. You heard my voice. I cried from deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice. Even from the pit that Jonah had dug himself into, physically, but also especially spiritually, far off from God. But there's physical danger. There is physical farness from God. In the farness of Jonah's hearts and desires, God heard him there. And I think the one thing I want to focus on today is that God hears us, or God extends grace to us, even when we mess up really bad. Even when we mess up really, really bad, God extends grace to you. There's no thing that you can do where God's grace won't meet you, where God won't hear you. Right? A fish comes and swallows Jonah. God actually appoints a fish, and the fish comes and swallows Jonah and carries Jonah out of the depths of the ocean, out of the depths of Sheol, out of death, and spits Jonah onto dry land back into life. W right there, yeah. Because that is who God is. God is one who extends grace to all of us, even when we mess up really, really bad. And we see that in Jonah. And you know what? This reminds me of a lot of stories in the Gospels. Okay, last week I think I shared about the Good Samaritan. Right? Do you guys remember that? Anyone remember that? One story that comes to mind from the Gospels this week is the story of the prodigal son. Okay, well, if we focus on the prodigal son. There was this son, okay? And basically, he turns his back on his father. And he basically takes his father's money because his father's still alive. He's like, give me my inheritance. But it's not really his inheritance yet. So he's like, give me your money and I'm going to go away. I want to move out. So this son turns his back on his father. He goes away and he spends all his money on just a lot of worthless things. On things that aren't good for him. On things that aren't healthy and good for other people. And he spends it all. And then a famine hits the land. And there's no food. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have a place to go. So where does he end up? He ends up eating food next to pigs. So the pigs are eating their food, and that's where the son is. He's working on a farm, and he's not getting paid a lot. He's not even getting paid enough to afford like real people food. He's eating pig food. That's where he is. Just like Jonah was in the depths of Sheol, I wonder if this prodigal son was like, wow, this is the pits for me. This is the depths of Sheol. This is what death feels like. But then what does he do? The son is like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say to my father, I don't need to be your son anymore, but please let me live here as a servant. Let me live here as a servant. Let me serve you. I don't need to be your son. I don't need that honor, but let me serve you. So he goes home. As he's walking home, Jesus tells us this is what the father does. The father runs out to the son and he embraces him. And he doesn't treat him like a servant. He doesn't treat him like poorly. He doesn't say, look at what you've done. Look at what you've done with your life. But the father embraces him and treats him actually as a prince. He gets a robe and he gets a ring. Better, even better than a son. He's an heir. He's embraced as a prince. Because that is who God is. That's who God is. Like the father, he's the one who runs out and embraces us in grace, even when we've messed up really bad, even when we've dug a hole for ourselves that we can't get out of, that we don't deserve to necessarily be out of. That is who God is. He's the one who embraces us with grace, even when we mess up really bad. And, you know, I think we all know this feeling of messing up really bad. I know I've messed up really bad many times in my life. I know I've messed up, like, kind of bad sometimes and really bad sometimes. But I think we all know the feeling of messing up really bad in our lives. Have you guys ever messed up really bad and you're kind of like, what am I going to do now? My parents can't find out. I hope they don't find out. I hope my friends don't find out. I've been in that place before. We've all messed up really bad. We've all maybe run away from, like Jonah, maybe we've run away from God. Maybe we haven't wanted to listen to God. We all know the feeling of shame or guilt of, a lot of us talked about it on Monday, maybe a faith that we don't feel as alive or a faith where we feel hopeless. We all know that feeling of being messed up really bad or of messing up really bad, of being in the pits, in the depths of Sheol, in the depths of darkness. And the reminder, I hope, that we can see in Jonah today is that God's grace is for you. And actually, God gives us reminders of his grace, okay? We kind of talked about Jonah, but we also got to talk about the big fish, okay? There's this big fish, and in verse 117, it says this, "The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah." So the Lord, God actually tells the fish, he says, big fish, go and rescue Jonah. And what does the big fish do? The big fish obeys God, right? What did Jonah do? Did Jonah obey God?
No.
We kind of looked at this last week already, but the sailors obey God. The pagan sailors obeyed God. Jonah didn't. This fish even obeys God when Jonah doesn't. And the big fish comes, and the big fish is actually God's grace, God's tangible grace. It's an opportunity to new life, because where does the big fish take Jonah from? Well, from the depths of the ocean. Jonah's sunk into the bottom of the ocean. He has seaweed on his face, and the big fish comes and swallows him. And then he comes up. The big fish swims up to the dry land and spits Jonah out on dry land. It's kind of like a rebirth. You know, like, that's actually, Jesus tells us something, that if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. You need new life. It's a new chance that Jonah gets. And this is actually what we find in Jesus. Okay? We don't find it in a big fish, but we find it in Jesus again and again. Jesus is the one who rescues us from Sheol, from darkness, from death, from the destruction or the messiness or the mess that we get ourselves into. Jesus is actually the one who provides us with a new chance again and again, who meets us with grace again and again. And that is actually the foundation of our faith, is that even we can't work ourselves to earn God's grace, to earn Jesus's grace or rescue. But that's just who God is. God is one who embraces us with grace, even when we mess up, even when you mess up. In your shame or in your guilt, in the times when you've messed up really, really bad, too bad to even face, where you feel far off, Jesus actually dives down deep into the depths of your mess, of your brokenness, of the pit, and Jesus embraces you to bring you up to dry land like Jonah. And to give you a new chance, not just a new chance, but to give you new life, a rebirth. Let's pray. God, that is what we need. We need another chance. More than that, God, we need your embrace. We need to be met with your embrace of grace. Because we don't experience that a lot. We have people who love us, but there's no one who loves us like you. There's no one who embraces us like you. Would we would we continue to run to you over and over again, even in the midst of our mess, like the prodigal son coming back to his father? Would we run back to you? And would we expect even to be met with an embrace of grace? God, would you meet us in our guilt, meet us in our mess, and bring us out of it and give us new life? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.